Hello and welcome to SwissInfo.ch's bit of light entertainment for August the 22nd.
When you can't see the stars like diamonds in the night, it's not the same feeling, it's not the same...
That is the sound of disappointment. More accurately, the sound of one of 50 or so disappointed astronomers who had gathered up a mountain in Canton Bern for the 27th Star Party, a weekend of lectures and stargazing in one of the most beautiful and dark parts of Switzerland. Nature, however, has a mind of its own, as I and my SwissInfo.ch colleague Susan Masika discovered. We've just taken possibly the windiest road in the world up to this location. It really was beautiful countryside. We came through these rolling hills, these barn houses covered in geraniums and these old wooden cartwheels, cows absolutely everywhere. So it's a beautiful part of the country. And if, during the day, you look across the valley, you can see the range of mountains, these tooth-like mountains. You see lakes in the distance as well. Sadly, if you look up, you can see absolutely nothing because it's cloudy. It's been cloudy all day.
Yeah, and
it's
not just cloudy. We're getting rained on.
It's raining and it's going to be cloudy all night. So sadly, the plan was to listen to lectures by astronomers talking about light pollution and so on, and then go out, once it's got dark, to basically be shown how to use advanced telescopes by experts and point them in the right direction so that you can see in this part of the country, which is relatively dark, because if you go to...
Well, this is not just relatively dark. There was an enthusiast who told me that this is basically the Namibia of Switzerland, quite possibly. One of the darkest places in Switzerland, one of the best places to see the stars. And two people tonight have told me that Namibia was one of the best places they've ever seen the stars. And one guy compared this place to Namibia.
Because, I mean, we're both from Bern, and... I mean, I'm actually from London, and London, you can't see stars. I didn't see a star till I was, in my 20s. No, that's an exaggeration. But in England, you've got to go out into the country. London, the sky is pink. Bern, it's not that bad. However, you really can't... You can see the bright stars, but you really can't see that many. Whereas you come here, and as you say, at the moment, it is pitch black. It really is. You can't see any...
Basically, we're looking into a mist, I'd say.
Yeah, it's a real shame. Because it would have been really interesting to know what to... Because I look up at the star at skies. I know the plough.
The plough, you mean the Big Dipper?
I mean the plough. This is a cultural difference, yeah. The plough, the Big Dipper.
We should call it Ursa Major and Ursa Minor.
Ursa Major. That's the one that most people can recognise. The North Star, maybe Venus as well. It would have been really interesting to get experts telling me how to get some of the rarer constellations that, when you're in a Swiss city... It's not possible to see.
Well, and apparently you would actually be able to see the Milky Way here, and you wouldn't even need a telescope, one man was telling me. You could just use a camera.
The naked eye.
Or the naked eye, even.
I think, sadly, we're going to have to wait for the 28th
edition. The sky party?
Because
the star party.
Tonight, we're not going to see anything, and they've cancelled the telescope session. But it was very interesting. We spoke to a lot of interesting people here.
Yeah, I learned a few things, and I mean... I've got a few ideas now about who I can talk to if I think it's too bright. There's a garage, a car dealership near me, and it's terribly bright. And I might have a word with the manager and just ask if he'd consider turning his lights off after 10 p.m., because really, who's wandering around considering buying a car?
You're interested in stars?
Oh, very much so. Yeah, and it's really a bummer that it's so cloudy tonight, because the Perseid meteor showers would be going on about now, and I was kind of hoping we'd see a few shooting stars tonight, but... Looks like we're out of luck.
Out of luck, but not out of interviews. That was an unfortunate example of cloud and rain pollution. But the subject under discussion was light pollution, a serious and worsening problem in cities all around the world. The rest of this programme will focus on the causes and consequences of light pollution and what you can do about it. Dark Skies might sound like a Philip Pullman novel, but it is in fact an international NGO which says it works to preserve and protect the nighttime environment and our heritage of dark skies through quality outdoor lighting. I asked Lukas Schuler, president of Dark Skies Switzerland, how dark the skies in Switzerland actually are.
It depends where you are. In the Alps, the sky is still quite dark, but not as it would be naturally without any artificial light. In cities like Zurich, Basel, Geneva, Lausanne, etc., the sky is diminished to, let's say, some dozens to hundreds stars, not anymore.
Indeed, the skies above Swiss cities are around 500 times brighter than those above Swiss villages out in the country. The Gurnigel mountain pass, where we were, is considered one of the darkest places in Switzerland, along with some regions of the Alps and the Engadine in the southeastern part of the country. It's a favourite vantage point for stargazers, but Schuler points out that nowhere in Switzerland is now completely dark.
The measurements show, and calculations and simulations show, which take into account all the artificial light, that there is no sky above where any area is still in its natural state.
So what are the main causes of light pollution? Sadly, it goes without saying that it's all our fault. All light pollution, whether direct glare from streetlights or the so-called sky glow caused by neighbouring cities, is caused by humans and is a relatively recent problem. For hundreds of thousands of years, we got by with fire. To see the skies as our distant ancestors would have seen them, we now have to head to isolated places like the deserts of Chile and Namibia. Then, with the invention of gas lamps at the end of the 18th century, followed by various types of electric lamps, halogen lamps, LED lamps and so on, our streets and buildings, not to mention shop windows, have become increasingly illuminated all through the night. However, technology is not all bad. Telescopes can now peer into deep, deep space. And even the cheaper models, which start at just a couple of hundred francs, can give amateur astronomers endless pleasure. Beat Kohler is a Lucerne-based maker of high-end equipment for looking into space. His telescopes cost from 2,000 francs up to 100,000 francs. I started off by asking him how business was.
It's okay. I think it's better than 20 years before, because people have more money, and because telescopes are cheaper than 20 years ago, you can buy bigger telescopes, but light pollution is a problem. Because when young people don't see the stars anymore, they have no interest to observe the stars.
Kohler has been building telescopes for about 35 years and says light pollution has definitely got worse.
There are more people. On one side, they are living here. And on the other side, there are definitely more lamps. And the lights go brighter. And a second point is maybe, I remember when I was a child, at 12 o'clock in the evening, the most lamps are close, no, not close, switch off. And today, the most lights outside, they are burning the whole night.
And although powerful scientific telescopes have gadgets that can filter out light pollution, hobby astronomers aren't so lucky.
When you observe the stars for your enjoyment, it's not the same when the sky is bright in the night, when you can't see the stars like diamonds in the night. It's not the same feeling, it's not the same...
However, the woes of astronomers come low down the list of side effects. There are many consequences of light pollution, and they're virtually all negative.
I mean, you have to recover during night, right? So you are producing hormones that help you doing that, but they are only produced if you are in the dark. If not, then you don't produce the hormones, so you don't sleep well. If that takes over and over again, night for night, then you get unhealthy, basically.
But it's not just tired humans who are affected by intrusive light from street lamps, construction sites, advertising hoardings, or whatever. Ecological light pollution can result in dramatic changes in ecosystems. Birds and moths and other nocturnal insects can get confused by lights, and their navigation is disrupted. This, in turn, affects night-blooming plants, which depend on them for pollination. Jörg Hummer-Johann, a biologist and president of the Astronomical Society of Bern, gave me a personal example of the effect of light pollution on the ecosystem.
When I was a kid, there were lots of fireflies around in Germany, where I come from, also here. And they have more or less disappeared. And this is because of light pollution. They cannot find each other, males and females, because there's too much light.
And the situation is only getting worse.
Good example of light pollution in another time scale is if you look at the University Observatory of Bern, which was built more or less 100 years ago, that's directly in the city center. Now our group of observatories, they look and they can show the stars to the people. However, there's only moon, very bright planets and very bright objects. For others, you have to go outside. So 100 years before, it was very easily to see it.
So what can you do? Dark Skies says there are various ways people can help, from writing letters to politicians and spreading the word online to becoming a citizen scientist, assisting in the measuring and study of light pollution. However, nighttime clarity, like charity, begins at home. Lukas Schuler from Dark Skies Switzerland explains.
They should be aware of the fact that what they do themselves in their own gardens and around their own houses has also an impact. So they can speak to neighbors, for instance, that do something that they are aware of and that is not good, to solve it better. It's not an easy task, I know. You have to be careful somehow because you don't want to stress other people. But if you easily explain what we are talking about, you can also get flyers from Dark Sky where everything is declared and explained. Then they understand the rules, they understand the reasons, and they might reflect on it and do it better.
It's a daunting challenge, so let's end on an uplifting note. At the star party on the Gurnigel, we bumped into a couple from nearby Thun. This was what the wife said about her husband.
He is so romantic. So he looked every evening in the sky to see the stars and the moon. So we will really appreciate it if we can see more light in the heaven and not from the lights of the shops.
A plea for more heavenly light. Thanks for listening, and thanks to studio technician Danny Wieler. For more Swiss news and views, go to swissinfo.ch. For more information on light pollution and what you can do about it, go to darksky.org or darksky.ch. I'm Thomas Stevens.